Welcome back to Normies Like Us, the podcast that reminds you it's hip to be square. Get ready to harvest wheat in slow motion and sit around a big table and listen to our backstories, because we're talking the space disaster, space epic, Rebel Moon, Part 2, The Scar Giver, on Normies Like Us.
Their nightmare.
You must know you cannot win.
I serve the line of the slain king. It is my honor to fight.
The audience truly loves it. And we've had people truly being inspired by it. And I come here and I'm doing press for the film and my castmates are here and I'm so happy to see them. And I absolutely loved working with Zach. He's great, such a great creator and creative, and loved working with Netflix. So for me, all in all, it was truly an amazing experience that I have absolutely no regret.
You heard it up top. We are begrudgingly exiting a space vagina wormhole once more in our penis-sized rocket ship as we return to the hyper-masculine, super sci-fi, totally original Part 2 series, Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver, here.
Seven Samurai.
Seven Samurai Part 2. Normies Like Us with your hosts, I don't know, the Colin Giver.
I guess I'll do Mike Asarius.
Mm.
Yes, yes. And of course, this is Jake Assis.
Jakey.
Like Nemesis, you know?
But you go by That's Jacob. Only...
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
It's the only name I can remember.
Yeah, sure. So welcome into the podcast. Reminds you, it's Hip to Give Scar. The sequel, the incredible Rebel Moon we just raved about.
It's like the Scar King. What if the Scar King met the Scar Giver? From
right,
King Kong.
Right. You know what? Versus... I kind of wish that would have happened.
A more interesting film.
Yeah, we're going to be doing spoilers for the incredible Zack Snyder space epic, but I wish the Scar King would have been there. It would have been more interesting. You're right. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
we somehow returned.
This is my favorite movie. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Somehow the Scar Giver returned.
Somehow the Scar Giver returned. We didn't look. We talk a lot of Zack Snyder. We'll talk about this movie, obviously. I want to ask you guys, like, have you, of course, thought about this franchise? Have you returned to it? Have you rewatched that first one? But also, just like, obviously, we know that we're doing this later after the reception, right? And we know the reviews have come in, and it has not been universally praised. It's not people's favorite movie, Jacob, as you just lied really? And said it's yours. But just also, what do you think about old Zacky boy? Like, is this the one? Is he going to movie jail for this? Is it over? Is it Jover? Yeah. Is it Zach over?
Yeah, like, he can't keep getting away with this. Zach to Zach flops like this. Here's where I'm at.
Know.
I've been texting Jacob a little bit, another friend of the show, Ex-Kaita, about this. Mm. And where I feel now, after having to watch that, is I feel like Kendrick Lamar feels about Drake. Like, I want him gone. Wow. I want him out of here.
I'm very topical, Mike.
I want to make a 7-minute song about his bad movie. I hate the way that you write, the way you direct, the way you cut. Like, I'm upset.
You're his biggest hater.
I'm his biggest hater. And again, I previously was on the side of like, it's not hurting anybody. Let him make his silly teenage movies, you know. But now I feel I was hurt by this.
But it's truly tremendous to watch someone fail at every level. And I wanted to ask you guys too, and I want your answer to that question too, Jacob. But I also want you guys to like think and consider, like, these movies are not just Zack Snyder. Obviously, he does every aspect of it. Again, we'll talk about it. These are his wife's co-productions as well. Deborah Snyder is his movie production partner. And I want to ask you guys, like, do you think he rolls over in bed in the morning and she thinks like, God, I have to support this man's artistic vision. And he says like, Deborah, I had the dream again. The dream about harvesting the wheat in slow motion. We have to make the movie. And she says, yes, these are the ones. We have to make these movies.
Possible. I also think it's like Legos. She's just like, I support my guy. He likes that little hobby. He likes to make his little movies, and, you know.
Like, it's almost serious. A hobby, Mike. It can't be serious.
No. This didn't need to be told, Jacob. How about you? Where do you?
Is he in movie, Jacob? Well, yeah, is he in movie jail, Jacob? After this, what's going on?
No, you know what? This is not even my least favorite Zack Snyder movie. I'll tell you that. Wow. Up top.
Oh,
well, I'll tell you this right.
It's
now.
His worst rated as of right now.
Hmm.
I probably don't hate it as much as you guys. I thought, you know, the first hour was terrible. Mm-hmm.
Like an hour was bad.
Right. One of the worst movies I've ever seen. But once they started actually defending the village, I thought it was at least a little more entertaining. You know, it was kind of fun watching this whole thing play out. So I liked the second hour better than the first hour. But the first hour was so bad, I was like, oh, boy.
And what about the first slow motion previous film?
Too? Well, that's the question. Is this worse than the last movie? I don't know. But actually, I think Army of the Dead... Yeah. Army of the Dead is worse than either of these movies.
Really? And that's his worst in your mind?
Probably. I really didn't like that movie either. But, you know, he's made some movies that I like. 300. Zack Snyder's Justice League. The Snyder Cut. You know, I'm a Snyder Cut defender. I love the Snyder Cut.
You like that four-hour movie. You can truly say that right here.
It's better than the theatrical
of
Justice League.
Again, have you rewatched it ever?
That movie.
Well, I have no reason to rewatch it. But okay. It was so good that I got it the first time, really.
You can't experience it again. Yeah.
But really, yeah, I mean, his last couple have not been great. I like Watchmen, too. You know, but not Army of the Dead. No, this movie. No, this was, you know, he pitched this to Star Wars. He's like, let me make a Star Wars. We didn't get that, but we got Snyder Wars instead. And I think that's even better.
I don't know.
Been an Orson Welles trajectory to compare him to the greats. You know, he started out, you know.
Yes, Citizen two directors Kane, that I would definitely
and then just
compare.
Diminishing returns after that, you know?
But so, Mike, that begs
even
the question.
Calling 300 Citizen Kane.
I think
Kane
it was a trap. I think we were tricked.
Well,
yeah.
But so here's the thing. We're coming up on a milestone episode, normies. We're coming up on 300. Now, the question is, Mike, do we continue dunking on this guy? Is that what this becomes? Do we've said, like, the episode we want to do for that one is let's re-examine 300, but then does it just become us again going like, well, fuck this guy?
Well, maybe we,
I think it's
that's when we
up.
Can determine, is he in movie jail? Were we hoodwinked or weren't we? Maybe I could have my dish.
He'll never be in
300 seconds long.
I don't think he'll ever be in movie jail because he has this hardcore fan base that's like, whatever you make, I'll fucking watch because I'm a Snyder cultist till I die.
I've seen even people on the subreddit for the Snyder Cut saying, like, we can skip this one. Or even saying that they'll wait for, like, the extended...
We'll wait for the Snyder Cut of this movie.
That's the real thing that scares me. Not 300, but there's going to be another version of this. And I have... can we just not...
Well, obviously, the way this movie ends... is you know, sequel part three. When
I would assume the way this movie ends, it's actually setting up two sequels, a quest and then a battle, wouldn't you say?
He wanted to make six movies. Like, this is his Avatar. Like, James Cameron will focus on Avatar for the rest of his life making sequels. He will focus on this as long as they let him, as long as they keep giving him money.
Who?
Wow.
Zack Snyder, I guess.
But Netflix can't sustain this. That's the difference.
But even if people didn't like it, if they watched it, I don't know what the viewership numbers are. Netflix doesn't always release that info. But,
yeah,
you know, no press is bad press. So even if everyone's hating it, if they're still watching it, then that counts, sure. I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess before we jump into the movie, my take is it's like, I think Zack Snyder is the Candyman. And, like, the more we acknowledge him, the more he will return and do damage. Like, we need to stop
slashing our
jean jacket. Right. Like, don't look at him. Don't watch his movies. We can't
get power. I can't look away. I can't look away.
Right. That's the problem. So,
wow.
Well, I've scarred my soul going through this. So, I guess we could just jump into, you know, our spoiler discussion of Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver, Electric Boogaloo, right after this. Baby,
look, I gotta defend my boy Zach.
Go
the
for it, man.
Fan.
If Zach is the village, and you are Korra.
And you're the evil mother ship that's trying to take our grain.
Look, getting into this, you know, we're back.
We're back.
When this started, and I'm watching It Takes Forever to kind of get going, I'm like, I wish Charlie Hunnam would have just killed you all in the previous movie. I'm like, I wish you were all dead.
Wow. Well, obviously, like you said, somehow Admiral Noble returned.
Somehow Admiral Noble returned.
Everyone's favorite character.
It's like, first scene of this movie. That climax again. I shouldn't ask questions.
Well, this is what this is my take, is that yes, this movie is bad. The first movie was bad. But if you combine them into one movie, cut them down to one movie's length, would it have been a better movie?
And because you need the extra director's cut, like sex and violence stuff too?
Yeah. Or
you, just out of these two movies, you just could?
It's basically the plot of one movie, but you stretch it into two movies. Like, the whole first movie is just meeting all the characters, right? And there's that battle. Condense that. You don't need that midpoint battle. Yeah.
Right, Jacob, it's gathering the characters, because the meeting the characters happens in this movie, where they all sit down and say, isn't it then we met each other?
Right. That's what I'm saying, is like, the first movie didn't work as a movie. This movie is just bad. But if you combine them, maybe there's enough there that you can make one good or one mid 2-hour movie that would be like, whatever, it's forgettable but fun.
Yeah, I definitely
think that's my take.
Taking 4 hours and getting us down to 2 hours,
just speed up all the shots that are slow motion, play them regular speed, and there you go.
This is an hour long movie, to be fair. Yeah, if it was at regular
speed. I won't. No, never, over my dead body.
Yeah, you'll never take my toys from me.
That's what, he's 15 years old, just. This is, it's cool and sick, right? Like, my character's named the Scar Giver. Like, that's cool, right? Like, yes, Zach.
I don't even hate Zack Snyder's use of slow motion all the time, because I think it works in some instances. Like in 300, it worked. It's worked in other movies like Watchmen before. But in this, it's like, what do the people want to see? How about us harvesting all the wheat?
Putting a bag of wheat on top of other bags of wheat.
And obviously that was the headline in a lot of the reviews, and it's easy for us to dunk on this. I agree with you guys. What a ridiculous choice that is. But Jacob, when I said earlier he fails on every level, I'm not kidding. When I just say, like, yeah, the wheat slow motion stuff is bad. When it's the battle scene, which you guys are arguing is the best part of the movie, which it's like, yeah, no,
that's
fucking
what I'm arguing.
Movie, the parts where it has like 2 seconds of something going on, yeah, it's great. But when that rocket launcher guy pops out, blows up a spaceship,
yeah,
you're like, oh, this is like interesting and weighty for a second, and it cuts to basically the worst angle you've ever seen, where you can see nothing, and immediately goes to slow motion. You're again like, Zach, you don't know how to edit a movie. Like, you're not good at almost every part of the filmmaking process. It's like astounding to watch somebody.
I would even say
failure at every level.
Even the cinematography, which
terrible.
I think there's some cool images, but the cinematography itself is really bad. And I was like, I thought like half the shots in this movie were like out of focus. I didn't know if it was my TV. I was like, what's going on? It looked like I was watching
thing going on. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah, he's got like really shallow depth of field. So it's like
there's this whole article that came out that these investigators did like a fucking true crime podcast on Reddit when Army of the Dead came out, and was the first movie where Zach said, and I don't need Larry Fong or any of these incredible artists that I had in the past that like created my visual style. I'm going to do it myself. Where they said, look at his rig, because he loves to do those videos of showing off, like, these lenses used to be tank lenses because, you know, I'm a battler and stuff. And he does all this stuff where people are like, the camera he has, we can look at it, is made in a way, because he like disconnects everything to get the body down, where they're like, you can see that where he's got the power supply rerouted, the cable is coming undone, and he's losing depth of field because of like the rig is like created wrong, where people are like, he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, he's failing
he's
at
the wrong
every
lenses.
Level. Yes.
It looks bad, and maybe you do need a professional DP, because your shots are out of focus, man. Like, I thought I was watching like the 3D. I thought it was the 3D version, but I'm not wearing 3D glasses, you know, so everything looks a little out of frame. Like, I swear, like, they kept cutting to these shots, and I was like, is that out of focus? Like, what is going on? And then the lights are like so blown out with like lens flares that it's like I can't even see what's going on because these lights are flaring everywhere. It looks terrible.
Yeah. Some of the framing's really bad too. Just like just poor choices of framing regardless of focus. Again, every part of the craft is failing here, and we haven't even gotten to the writing or anything else.
You hear this, but like even his staunchest defenders are like, yeah, he's not great with scripts, but you have to understand the visuals he sets up, like in those early films where it's like the kick for 300 of the guy going in the pit, where you're again like Larry Fong shot that movie. It is a cinematographer whose job was to do that.
300 stop
acting like it was Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Watchmen and 300 had good framing and stuff because they were imitating, they were both based on comic books and they were imitating the panels of the comics. So if you're just replicating the panels of comics, it looks good. But those two movies, compared to his newest movie, it's like, it's crazy.
No, it's crazy. And again, he's obsessed with like Christ-like imagery and like everything is so holy and epic. Like always, like grain is not that epic. Like it's 300 or like Gladiator. I'm going to walk and touch my grain. Like it's like, all right, dude.
Yeah. You don't understand when they're in the air, the specks are in the air. It's going to look sick when it's slow motion, man. Yeah.
Well, and I've been saying to you guys, I wanted to talk about something off pod. So I'll get it out now because this is my full thought on this movie, which is when you guys say like the biblical stuff, the epic, the scale and stuff, that is Zack Snyder. And obviously we talked about in the last movie, Jacob, you were like the most Zack Snyder shot ever is a space vagina opening up and a dick spaceship coming through. And I agree with that. But here's the new caveat. The newest, the most Zack Snyder thing that has ever existed in cinema now is in this movie, he makes the Starship engine like a woman. It's like in the shape of a body of a woman, so much so that he has finally done it. He has broken down what he wants to do, which is to literally just make the form and figure of a sexy woman a dope-ass vehicle that guys ride in and do battle. It's the most Zack Snyder thing that has ever existed. He's peaked. He's climbed the mountain. What else can he do now?
I don't know. We got two more movies, at least. Fingers crossed. Yeah, it's
a whole franchise, baby. You know, can get spinoffs going. This is bigger than Star Wars. You don't understand.
Is Gunnar in these films a self-insert for Zack Snyder?
Gunnar.
Is it because he's boring, Mike? Is that why?
He's boring, and he wants like a cool, like tough chick.
I love,
you know, like I not like the too tough because that would be kind of gay, you know. But like,
she's fighting is cool. Scary. But you're cool and tough, and we will have six.
Yeah,
he learns courage over. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's so many great characters in this movie. It's hard to
name them. Name every single one of them. The opening monologue, we start with Jimmy saying, and of course, you remember when we were at the battle pits of Zensapu, where we met Nemesis. And you're like, you want to be like, Anthony Hopkins, you're one doing this in one take. They didn't get a single second take out of you. Because when you say Gunnar, that is not how Gunnar's name Gunnar. Was pronounced in the last movie.
That's how I pronounce it. Like, he's Gunnar out here.
Gunnar. Yeah. Dude, he's Gunnar, the ultimate Gunnar. Yeah, Gunnar.
Nice.
They're space Vikings, Colin.
I have the same pewter cup for visual bits for this week.
There you are.
These pewter cups in the gold.
There he is. Mike, of course, you are Prince Zappazoo, whose bold, noble lineage. Should we do the naming ceremony now? Should I present you guys the little gifts I made? These tiny
little did you make me a little tablet
to me what the function is, according to Zack Snyder?
Strong as a mountain, General Jacob.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad, Anthony Hopkins, he describes the plot of the first movie for us, just to recap, so we know what's going on, which I found very helpful.
Yes.
Again, Zach is like, but Zach is like, we said this last episode, people don't read. Crawls are dumb. Have people just say it.
Have Anthony Hopkins read it.
Yeah. Crazy shit. You're like, okay, yeah. Like, maybe, I guess, man.
And then the beginning of this movie is paced so insanely because it's like, remember all that cool stuff we just did in the last movie? All right, let's fucking hang out in this longhouse. Let's sit down. Let's tell each other our backstories. Let's hang out. let's get ready for this battle. It's like none of, you know, this is why I'm saying you could condense this whole, these whole two movies into one movie, because it's like,
right,
the first hour of this movie is basically pointless. And actually the only thing I liked was the backstory, because I did like seeing some of the flashbacks. They were more interesting than the movie that we were watching.
But the prince lived in like space 1940s. Well, that was the worst one.
No, I like,
I was like, why do you have that hat?
Yeah, what are these choices that are being made?
Yeah, this is not what I expected.
When he comes out, he's like, dude,
what are you, like a fucking detective in a film noir?
Ma, what's going on, you dame?
Well, those things, the griffins are Maltese falcons.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, when I saw that guy in the first movie, I did not expect him to come from that planet.
1940s gangland. Chicago.
Yeah.
Planet. Oh, man. No, some of those are, at least something's happening, but like that could have been in, like that should have been part of meeting the crew. Like, and then,
so yeah, that should have been in the first movie. Just
volunteers himself to slavery. Like, what were you doing?
Well, he doesn't explain that, because he just says, I was smuggled out. He never says, like, and that's why I ended up, you know.
With a griffin.
They basically just keep interrupting each other. They're like, you think that's a
tale?
You've
told your story? Now let me tell my story.
And then one guy literally goes, Cora, you haven't said your backstory yet.
She's like, no, I have. She's like, but have you? She's like, okay, I guess I'll tell.
She's like, I have a couple times, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's going to be a lot happening here. But yeah, the just telling the backstories, again, it's exposition just through, like, it's all.
Well, basically, is they've all been wronged by the Empire in some way, or the mother world, I should say, not the Empire.
I want to, we're talking characters, but I want to rewind it just a little bit more, because the Martha world, because Jacob said the pacing thing. I want to point out some stuff, because here's what we're saying it, but I want to really linearly lay it out to say, like, it starts out with the resurrection of Christ. We see the Greco-Roman, it's Ed Skrein. His Jacob, did you like that?
Out of the womb. Yeah.
He's, oh my God. And he's in the chrysalis.
T-pose.
Yes, and he wears literally the Greco shawl. Mm-hmm. But Jacob, did you like that Daleks are in this movie?
That his brain wasn't damaged enough.
Yeah.
Again, who are those fuckers that were walking around with a red box like in the previous movie? Apparently they do that. I feel like that's all we'll ever know about them.
He's trying to make the world seem like, oh, there's so much world building. It's just like Dune, you know. You guys liked Dune, right? What if we had some like weird guys that we don't explain?
And you're telling me that a flap can open up on the back of my head, and you can put a fucking USB in there, and fucking if I'm dead, they literally say the words.
He was dead for so long, we don't know how much brain damage he has.
Well,
and you're telling me I can go in this goo, I can be plugged in, I can be resurrected, but I have to make sure I get 30 sacks of flour from a goddamn planet.
Look, these people got to eat.
Make sure that everybody can be fed. We got the goo. We got the space goo.
True.
I think it's something with Admiral Noble has like some, he's like cybernetic or something, because in the first movie he had like those hoses on his chest that he was like recharging or something at one point.
He was having sex with the worm.
He's got some weird bio stuff going on where you can like, that's why they can save him. I don't know if they can like bring everyone back from the dead or just him.
Well, no, because they like are discussing like when they arrive at the longhouse, like, oh, he's dead. Don't believe me. I'll say it again. He's dead. Isn't that sweet? He's dead. And they're like, oh,
definitely dead.
They have to go back to the mother world. It's protocol. I mean, nobody knows about resurrection. That they can do it.
In the same scene, Mike, to say, you're telling me he's dead? That's great news. Akora, you're our hero. What are you saying? You're saying he's alive? You just promised us he's dead.
Like, well, I did a countdown.
You heard that
seconds ago.
You can't be that angry. Like, what are you talking about?
Somehow he returned.
So, sorry, just real quick. Again, the pacing thing. The reason that I wanted to outlay this. So we get the resurrection. We go to this earth, the longhouse, the setup. Who are your friends? Show them that we greet, you know, our heroes. It ends with General Titus. This is my big point to Jacob's weird pacing thing, saying, tomorrow we're going to wake up and we're going to learn how to fight and be people, and we're going to be badasses, and I'm going to get you up at the crack of dawn, and we're going to fight for our lives. The next cut is him being woken up by the villagers, them yawning and going like, oh, it's so early. Our warriors are saying this as the villagers say, come on, we got to harvest grain. And then we get 15 minutes of the slow motion grain, and it's so long they split it in two, put an end screen scene in between it, then go back to the slow motion grain.
I know.
Look, you got to show how much these guys are bonding, okay? They're all bonding. They're having a great time. They're cutting down this weed.
But the editing is wrong. We're literally, Titus is saying,
we have to
cut to the training montage, and then they don't do the training montage. It's crazy.
I thought the wheat was like, oh, we're going to train you by learning how to cut this wheat because that'll be like
Mr. Miyagi style.
Yeah.
No, and like,
yeah, I just need to cut the wheat. Yeah.
Titus, who's the only name I probably know, is like, yeah, we're going to train. And then he's like, why am I waking up so early? Like, I noticed that too. It's like, because that was your plan to wake up
you
early?
You said it.
Why are you upset?
That was a post thing where they're like, oh, right, we shot these scenes. This doesn't make sense, but we're just going to edit that anyway.
But like, Zach is in the editing bay with this guy, right, and the guy turns to him and he's like, we can't have him do this thing that he just said he's not going to do. And Zack Snyder's like, no, it's good because we split the movies up. And in the real cut, we'll fix this mistake. Like, you just imagine him saying that. We're just like,
but did you get that, like,
any of this?
The whole time he's drinking, they're like, oh, this guy, he likes to fucking drink. And then at one point, he's like, psych, I was drinking water the whole time.
About the spring water.
What does he mean? I'm so worried about this battle that I was drinking water so I could stay alert.
Yeah.
But the only two characters that I thought were somewhat interesting in this movie is Titus and Nemesis. Right?
Well, hold on. Okay. So you just said their names. Let's do characters.
My two favorite characters.
Now, Mike, we did all that. We set up the bread and stuff, and they're milling the wheat. I mean, they're truly doing chores. Like, it's ridiculous.
Right.
Where they sit down.
Get that wheat
and then you have the worst stock improvised dialogue ever of like, how many guns are there? Remember, I'm in charge of the guns. We need to know how many guns there are. And Titus just goes like, shut up, everybody. It's backstory time. Now, Mike, go through all the backstories.
Literally one by one.
Yes, please.
I mean,
well,
jeez. I can remember.
They're all basically, the point is they're all wronged by the Empire in some way, like I said.
We start with Titus. Who's like, I was a general. Yeah,
he was a former general. He refused to fire on some innocent people or something, and then they're like, okay, well, guess what? We're gonna blow up all your men right in front of you. And then so he's guilty about that because he basically caused all his men to die.
Perfect. Doesn't explain how he got to the Colosseum.
But then they're like, you're gonna become like a slave, you're gonna become like a gladiator slave for us. Then you have Nemesis. This one was crazy. Because let me just explain this. She did not know how to fight beforehand, but she chops her arms off and puts robot arms on that already know how to fight and taught her how to fight.
It has her ancestors, bloodlust and whatever. But here's what's crazy. So yeah, she doesn't know how to fight, and they cut to her using the hot knife to cut her arm off. But if you can only hold the hot knife with the metal hand, how did she cut the first arm off?
She must have cut one arm off.
Oh, traditional style, just old school, hard way, no heat knife, right?
Well, you can hold the handle, I think.
No, the hands heat up the knife.
That's the why you have to have the robot.
But then the dudes have the blue ones, the bad guys.
Zack Snyder wanted a lightsaber fight. Just don't think about it.
Yeah,
of course. I'm also going to call you guys out. In our last episode, I say, isn't it true that the villains had a blue lightsaber? And you guys both go, we don't remember, and you guys clearly weren't like watching.
I don't know if they were in the first movie.
He pulls Admiral out the Noble. He has light.
Just
up
has like a staff,
but it turns blue when he uses it. You guys have to understand, Zach is incredibly smart. He's doing something very clever here. Where, unlike Star Wars, where the villains have a red lightsaber and the good guys have a blue one, Zach's actually done the incredibly clever thing of inverting those colors.
Ah, because you know what's really cool and edgy, like Darth Maul and shit. Like,
yes,
that's true.
So wouldn't it be cool if like the good guys had the red ones? Yeah, that'd be way cool.
I like. Look, if I had a lightsaber, I would be a good guy with a red lightsaber too.
Yeah. So her backstory is, it cuts to, it's basically the scene from The Last Jedi where like Luke is like in the fallen temple, right? Like it's just like a shot outside like a burning village as she's just like, I will avenge you. And she's like, and I became vengeance. And you're like, great. That's her.
Yeah, they killed her family. They became a
nemesis to the Empire that day. Yeah, they like space Vietnamed basically her village. And she's like, well, fuck this. New hands. Who did?
But she's got a cool look when she's wearing her hat and stuff too later in the battle.
But it doesn't explain how did you end up on Spider Planet. It's just, now I have metal hands.
Well, she's you know, going around doing stuff.
Space 40s.
The worst one. Oh, you forgot. You also forgot the other lady that I don't remember her name at all.
We're going to get to the rest.
Yeah, the Blood Axe clan.
Well, I want to talk about Chicago first.
Talk about Chicago.
We're doing a little ragtime real quick.
Yeah.
So that's Turok?
Turok.
Turok. Prince is killing dinosaurs. Yeah.
And of course, you guys know, I'm a prince. And earlier he was called the Regal Snow Deer or whatever by the little girl who like presented him the toy.
He's like, Prince of 40s land.
So as a prince,
herself.
My dad was like, nobly kills herself, do your treaty. But they didn't honor it, so they blew him up. And then they came to Space Chicago, where we've got birds.
And then, for whatever reason, hippogriffs, mom just had to jump off a balcony because it was the right thing to do.
Why did she even that seems so Zack Snyder? You're like, is that scene that would end with a woman jumping off a balcony? In what world does that make sense where we're at a space alien's funeral in the middle of like a civil war or whatever?
Like, are they going to send a regent that has to like marry and have children with her? Like, is that why she balconies? I don't know, Zach. But yeah, it makes no sense. But it's
so I ran. Emotion. I was a coward. And we don't get his backstory. And next she goes, I'm sorry, they. It is a non-binary person who, of course, is like, and of course, you know, my backstory. I would argue this is the best one because I thought it would look the coolest. I also came from a tribe not unlike your Rebel Moon Velt, where we were besieged by the Mother World, and we were made into slaves. But I was freed by the heroes of the last film, Ray Fisher, a
the
man
Blood Axe Clan,
threw his career and life away for you, Zack Snyder. You reward him with two scenes and one line over the course of your epic saga. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's weird is like, yeah, he died in the last movie. His sister is like, well, I'm not going to join you. I got to do other things. Until the end of this movie, I'll come and, you know, Deus Ex Machina at the end.
No, that's a Star Wars. But we're going to name what movies are in this movie. But that's a rise of Star Wars.
There's a huge Return of the Jedi at the end of this movie. Like the whole end of the act,
I'm glad we thought that. Yeah, so that was like a Mad Max planet too, like the little gas mask when they're laser mining. It's like, this
is Furiosa.
They're Furiosa, but it's like...
That. Let me put some face paint on. You know, so all my favorite characters are here.
I'm sorry. And obviously Gooner is like, I'm the Gooner, I goon.
Well, no. Goon squad, you know?
They're like, Goon squad, what do you think? And then, of course... Titus or somebody else says, and Korra, what is your backstory? And Korra gives this story, and I say General Titus because General Titus kind of listens, but like ends it by saying, like, and that's all you're gonna tell them? And she's like, why? What else do you know? And he's like, I'm not gonna say. And this is when she says, you're not going to say about the secret of the spring water.
Oh, he gets
you're
out
drinking
of it,
water. Yeah. But no, she tells her story to Gunnar earlier when they're alone, and then we see the flashback of her. We see the king, Cary Elwes, right?
Talk about all this. This is the scene of the movie. It's the craziest thing that I've ever seen in my life. Uh-huh. Please, go through it.
Yeah, they ambush the... Well, you have Belisarius, her father.
Describe everything that's happening.
Oh, man, I don't know. So they go to... They're going to, like, anoint a ship, right? Or, like, a ship naming ceremony. Right?
It's going to be called Peacemaker. Because we're going to have a peaceful kingdom. Because
the daughter, he's being swayed by his daughter who has these healing powers, and she's a good person and all this stuff.
Let's not war.
Yes.
Yeah. So he goes there.
Glinda the Good Witch.
There's a bunch of people playing violins with like hoods over their heads. It's very ominous. With the, you know, probably nothing going on here. And guess what? Oh my God, it's a trap.
Belisarius, Belisarius, where are the, where is the Sibsab? Why aren't the Zimzams running? What on earth is this?
It's an Etu Brute thing where they have to kill Caesar.
Now, what are the musicians doing, Jake, with the masks on?
They're playing their violins.
They're scoring the assassination.
Yeah.
Like, it is a diegetic story. Assassination. Uh-huh. They stop when there is dramatic information to be expressed. Yeah. And when they are asked to play, they play.
And when something dramatic is happening, they swell. Yeah. It's diegetic score. It's insane.
Yeah. They're probably making a lot of money, those musicians. No, and they're wearing a hood.
What is this?
You can't know what's going on.
What is this? This is Eyes Wide Shut. What is it? Like, yeah. Zach was just watching that one night and he turns to Deborah and he's like, I want that in there too. And she's like, none of this makes sense.
He's trying to make the mother world aesthetics like super weird and like Illuminati. Like, oh, they're like, they're super like, yeah, they're like Eyes Wide Shut people. There's these rich jerk offs who wear masks and do secret ceremonies.
Imagine the setup that's like, okay, listen, violinist, first chair, all right, we're going to do this assassination. He's going to come in and be pissed, just be playing normally, moderately ominously, right? And then as I such ramp a good up trap. The exposition that we're going to kill him, then you really need to go for it, okay? Like, really.
But how will we know your cues if we have the mask on? No, you'll be listening to what I say.
Yeah, listen to the dialogue.
Yeah,
the
follow what's going on.
You have plausible deniability. Yeah. You didn't see who assassinated who.
But you don't. Right? I don't. But Mike, what is the plausibility when the whole thing is he goes, et tu, Brute, we stabbed Caesar. We killed Robin Hood men in tights. Goodbye.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Now my daughter. Do it, kill the princess. Do it, kill our child, do it. And then she does it, and they all go,
what did you do?
It was her fault.
She did it. She killed the king.
Everybody watched it. What is, I don't understand. What's the plan?
That's the plan. They're just going to pin it on her, even though they're all in on it. He convinced like the entire Senate.
But then they all could have just had guns and just like it could have been nothing. It doesn't need to be anything.
Cool. Okay. It's got to look cool. They all know it looks cool. They're like, all right, we're going to pin it on her. She's the scapegoat.
What if our main character, had to kill a child, right? That'd be pretty edgy, right?
Yeah.
You know, but
Sophia Boutala.
Well, I was saying guys who were happy to stab the king and queen, they can't walk over and stab the daughter. Like, it makes no sense.
No, it's got
to
be her.
Dudes in there ready to murder anybody.
Yeah. She's got to get her hands dirty.
And you have to make the father watch, too, for no reason.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sophia Boutala, who plays Cora, said she fought Zach on this. She didn't ever see her character being able to go this far. And he said, well, you've just succumbed to the ultimate brainwashing. Don't you understand? So,
yeah, no.
You got to do what you got to do.
Oh my!
This is very strange. Away. The regent screams out, "She did it because she's impure. Her blood. She's a foreigner." Like, there's some weird, like, commentary, like that that's inserted all of a sudden out of nowhere. That you're like, Zach, what are you doing? That
is the mother world, of course. Yeah,
right. And then
they're like the empire.
Snake, heretic, betrayer, like all these.
But she gives
the empire, and then. Yeah. We're going to call them something else. Don't worry about it. You can see that where it's like, obviously that would have been the Empire if Disney allowed him to make his Star Wars.
Let's make him 40% more Nazi-ish.
Yeah. But so Belisarius, her adopted father, is now in charge. And that's why he's like, he's super... He wants to, start a war and everything.
Well, they were going to stop the war, and he really likes war.
Yeah, sure. He convinced the entire Senate to turn on the president or the king or whatever.
The Senate.
Damn, he is the Senate.
Yeah, he's freaking Sheev Palpatine out here, and then Admiral Noble is Darth Vader, basically.
Is Regent Belisarius suddenly Scottish in this movie? And was he?
I think
Scottish
he was always Scottish,
movie?
But yeah,
I don't know about
confusing.
That. I don't know if he was.
He
was played by a Scottish actor, I believe.
Oh, okay, that makes sense then.
Do it.
Well, his beard looks terrible.
Do it.
Do it.
Yeah.
Keller.
An off-worlder.
Mudblood, he says at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. The Scar Giver.
I forgive you. Don't.
So edgy.
That's what the princess says. It's so edgy.
It's okay, though. She survived, yeah. As we learn at the end of this movie, of course. Big cliffhanger. She survived.
Please don't spoil this movie for me.
I'm sorry. It's very important.
We're still in backstory town, though, like for real.
That's what's incredible, Mike.
That's what I'm saying. I like the backstories because they're more interesting than the actual movie that's happening.
And what people said about the first movie is like, here's the great General Titus, but never once do we see him do great generaling. I mean, we still don't. We see him getting his dudes killed after doing some generaling, but we never see them earning their titles, except for like Nemesis fighting a spider.
On my planet, it's not the Regent Belisarius we have to worry about. It's Al Capone. Uh-huh. Interesting.
Well, I made this point a lot in the first one. That we did, where I said basically this movie feels like a video game. It's like a video game cutscenes, and the way the plot unfolds, it's very video game like, where you go from one location to another, meeting a new character. This one, I felt, again, it's very video game esque, where it's like, okay, obviously these are all the members of your party that you would accumulate over time, and each one has their own personal quest that you would go do to, you know, gain their trust or whatever. They're all the different companions that you would have. So you're like, oh, let's go do General Titus's quest now and avenge him, and then we'll do Nemesis's quest, and then we'll do Turok's quest, and et cetera.
Jacob, you are self described as the king of brat sci-fi TV, where you'll be like, oh, I watch, you know, all these. I'm realizing now you are also the king of these style video games, where I hear you describe like, what are you doing in Starfield? Well, we have to go to General Titus's planet because I'm not going to play it much more. It's not very good.
So yeah,
I'll be like, oh, you should have like returned that, dude. That sounds like terrible.
No, like if you've ever played the Mass Effect games, like I think this movie is exactly structured like a Mass Effect game, where you meet all these different characters that join your ship over time. Each one of them has like a personal quest. Like, it's very video game-esque. And you know what? Yeah. This is the kind of movie that I would normally as the contrarian who loves bad sci-fi, I would defend this movie. But even I cannot defend this movie because it's just that bad. And I wanted to, because I'm like, look, this is my niche. Okay, I'm going to defend the bad Snyder movie.
Yeah.
But I can't even defend it because it's so bad. The only thing I liked was the village defending scenes, which was mildly entertaining in like a Star Wars-y type way.
Well, let's set that up now, because
I have one thing to note after the backstories is then Titus, he just starts singing, right?
They're bonding.
Let me make my case. He starts singing in some foreign language. It's some type of space language, and I'm just like, who speaks this? What language is this?
His home planet. Understand probably. It?
Like, do the space Vikings? Everyone's like, oh, this is a banger. Like, everybody seems to know this song.
It's like a folk song from his home world, I'm assuming.
But they're not from his home world. Why do the Vikings be like, damn, this is hitting? Like,
we don't need to know the lyrics. It's just the vibes, you know? It's just the vibes.
Jacob in our last episode was like, I saw Jaimin Hansau in the credits. He's my guy. You know, well, I was waiting for him this whole movie. And now, obviously, like, this, quote unquote, is more of his movie. But I got to say, Jacob, this movie is so poorly made. If I was him, Madam Web style, I would fire my fucking agent, and I would make a big stink about, like, how the fuck did I end up in this when I could be in real Star Wars? They make enough Star Wars now. I could be in real Star Wars.
I've been in like two different MCU roles. He's been two different characters.
He's been all the DC. He was the Fish King in Aquaman, and he's the Shazam wizard.
It's just so funny, like, basically they're all in this tavern, like, drinking and partying and stuff, like they're all bonding, like they've been together for so long and they've done so much, and it's like, we didn't see them do anything. Like, we don't even know who these characters don't know each other, and we don't even know who they are. So, like, none of this means anything. Like, if you compare it to like Lord of the Rings, when you get to know the Fellowship, like, you really get to know everyone in the Fellowship, with, you know, some characters less, like Legolas is more of a side character and stuff. But
didn't
but
you hear the enough. Little Swedish girl give her gifts, Jacob? She described everyone perfect.
Yeah, but it's like you're forcing us to think that there's some kind of like we've known these characters for so long. It's like, I don't know anything. Like, I cannot name one thing about the personality of these characters or like what they want. Like, they all just want revenge, obviously, against the Empire. But it's like,
yeah,
it's like the movie is telling me that I know these characters when I don't actually know them. It's very
because like Zack Snyder, he knows that that's what happens in a movie. There's the scene where everyone has bonded, but he doesn't know how to create the circumstance for the characters to bond in his movie. So he has to give out banners.
Basically, I just picked all of you up on my spaceship. Then we had a little battle, and then we came back to my village. And that's we've known each other for like a week. And now we've
done some grain for 3 days, and now we're best friends.
Yeah.
Mostly we've done chores, and we're all wearing like slacks and like.
And like, Jomon Hansu's wearing like a newsboy cap and suspenders. Yeah. He's doing great. He's really adjusting the village life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Let's show them that our ale is good and our friendship is fine and that we're all nice and we'll sing our songs and they'll sing their songs to us and we're all happy. You said Titus, or no, what's Ed Skrein's name?
Admiral Noble.
You said Admiral Noble was dead. How can we trust you? Oh, what's the thing going on in the background with the young guy who worked for the army?
Yeah,
in the last one, because he met Jimmy the robot, and then in this one, he's just like, I guess, banging that young girl because he just fucking lives here.
Well, you remember in the last one, the patrol came to like watch over that the grain was getting, but everyone on that patrol was like evil, and they were gonna like rape that one girl, and then the one guy was like, no, I'm not gonna let that happen, and that's the guy that was like, you know what, fuck you guys. So they killed all the bad ones, so he's the only one left. So he turned against he was a soldier for them, but he turned against the mother world.
Checking pretending. In, the grain's still coming? The grain's still coming? We love. I was just
the
talking,
other,
they love the grain.
Oh, they're out there working the building.
Can you put your boss on the line? I would just love to talk to him for 2 seconds. No, he was talking about how good the grain is. I can't stop him from getting that grain.
Yeah, sorry, he's on our
but then immediately they're like, well, obviously he killed the rest of his patrol and he's turned against us. Like,
yeah.
So they are not fooled by him at all. So
Jacob, what would be the point of those scenes then, I would ask you?
Han Solo does that thing where he pretends to be a soldier and it's funny, right? And
I want
to
do that too. We're all good down here. Yeah.
Everything's fine here.
Basically,
how are you?
How are you?
They should have done that.
Boring conversation anyway. Yeah, that's a good movie. That's a better movie than this. We should just talk about that.
We do have a New Hope. They go out to the
remember that
station.
Scene in yes. Remember that scene in A New Hope where they say, we can't use the Death Star on Alderaan. They've put the grain inside the barns. We'll have to
blow up the grain.
That is one of the most baffling things. It's like that's why Titus says, like, we need to get the grain out of the field because they won't blow up the grain. It'll protect us. And it's like,
well, it's smart because
they're
not
going to care about
the grain
that much.
I would time
they
out.
They need to feed
like,
their citizens,
out,
right?
It's
the greatest
here,
star giver.
They don't care about the grain. I feel like they don't.
Well,
this
only
because
he was like, if
all
you,
a ruse.
If we get the star giver, we don't care about the grain. But if we got both, that would be better.
I don't know. And he says at one point, he says, that's my grain. That's why we'll be getting it. And you're like, Admiral Noble, you died. You came back to life.
I mean, once the scar at the end, the scar giver's on the ship and he's like, all right, fucking blow up the village. I don't care about the grain.
Yeah, like,
I don't care about
like,
our own soldiers
stupid.
Down
we
there.
Never needed the grain.
Yeah.
Yep. He says, more, fire everything, Kylo Ren.
Yes. And as a viewer, I'm like, you've talked about this grain for an hour and 40 minutes of a 2-hour movie. And at the last 20 minutes, you're telling me you didn't care about the grain?
Mm-hmm. Well, technically 4 hours of a supercut.
Yes, of a one movie, of a two
Colin,
movie.
You don't understand. The grain is like an optional sub objective of the quest. Really, you just need
negotiation
to complete the quest. Yeah.
They came to that planet for the grain. She happened to
and
live there. That was the story.
True, it's a big accident.
It's more just like what now that he has the scar gear, it's like that's more important than the grain. But I agree,
and
it's stupid.
You're doing this, of course, because of you're getting your seat on the Senate. Well, don't I deserve one after the scar you've given me, scar giver?
Yeah,
it was an honor to be scarred by you.
But I do like how they set up traps and whatnot for the...
Let's do the whole defense.
Yeah, we're doing the seventh.
We're teaching them, guerrilla warfare. Yeah, exactly.
Now, Mike, real quick, your favorite nemesis has been befriending a little boy. So obviously she's got to protect the children. That's the child. Head with her. Do you like any of that?
There's one line of dialogue in the previous movie of like, I used to have kids too. Like, she felt kind of bad for Spider Lady, so we know she's going to form an attachment with a child. Because that's what happens in movies.
Do you think she told that kid, "I killed a spider last week"?
Probably, honestly, like,
huge.
Yeah,
I called him Hell's Decoy because that's kind of what he felt like.
Yeah, she's like, acting cold on the outside, but really, she's got a good heart inside, and she cares about this kid.
This is the closest thing to an actual arc, I think, that exists in both of these movies.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that actually feels like there is some growth, quote unquote.
I think Gunnar, he kind of has an arc because he starts out as kind of like just this villager who's like scared of fighting or whatever. And then by the end, he's like, I'm not scared to fight. I'm a warrior too.
Okay. Here's my character who has an arc. The nameless blonde villager woman who starts out in the last movie kind of scared and meets Jimmy and puts a little flower in his hair. Mm-hmm. And this one, they're like, let's see what kind of warrior you are. Hold on, hold up. Hold your elbow up and to the left. Oh, you're a perfect shot. You did it. Great work.
Yeah, and then she's in love with this army guy that turned against the mother world. So they've got that going on.
I guess there's a development. You're right.
Well, I thought Jimon Hansu, like you said, he's more of a character in this, but I thought he was going to get more to do because it's like he's leading kind of the defense. He's got this whole thing where he's guilty because he got his whole army killed or whatever, and then he never really gets resolution from that of like,
well, I'll never surrender, he says. That's what you have to understand if you're going to serve with me. And they said,
I'm going to fight to the death.
But I want to stop you right now, Jacob, because how dare you say he is underserved when I'll flash back real quick and say, how did we leave that table of backstories without Anthony Hopkins' robot coming up and going, oh, my tale? Who, me, Jimmy? You want to hear my story?
Well, that's later when she goes.
But we get one scene of Jimmy in this movie. How is it in the second movie there's no Jimmy after a movie that already had no Jimmy?
There's my favorite scene where she goes to talk to him and she's like, hello, James. And he's like, oh, I've not heard that name in a long time. People just call me Jimmy, not James.
I get a thrill when I hear the name James that I have not gotten in quite a while.
He was sitting on the hill listening to the song, too, you know? Yeah, he got a cutaway, but he's not in this.
Basically, his whole deal is that he's sworn to the slain king and to his daughter, the princess, and he's like a sworn knight or whatever. A protector.
Purpose. No.
Yeah.
Jacob, do you think it's crazy that when he comes into that cave, or when Cora comes into that cave to meet Jimmy, that he says that he knows that she's been sent there to work on the Buffalo Bill case, and that he knows that she is casing as an FBI profiler to hunt down a serial killer?
Yeah, it's possible.
Ah, I smelled you come in, Cora, with your...
with your cheap bag and your good shoes.
That's what I wanted to say fava beans. I was like, that's like, she's not wearing fava beans.
A nice Chianti.
How did I get these horns? Better you're movies. Asking?
Those are good movies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anthony Hopkins, 90 years old. I'm glad he got a paycheck.
Is he?
I don't know how old he is, but I'm going to guess 90.
Just no way.
Watkins. I like to think he was like, you know that AI, just let him do my voice with that. I don't want to record these lines.
I'll sign off on this one. You can use it on this one.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he lives in like London. So I'm pretty sure he just probably recorded his lines in London and then sent them in and was like, how is this?
Yeah, they sent like a house care kind of like a doctor, but a dude with a microphone. They just sent him to his house, had him sit down in front of Anthony with a Zoom for 1 hour, and then return.
But so
the battle scene, Jacob, you're saying it's
they attack the village.
There's things happening, fine, but the sense of geography is all over the place. Like, I don't have a sense of what the plan is. What are your defensive, like, because they don't tell us the plan.
Pop out of the ground,
surprised, right?
They shoot the rocket launchers.
Yeah, that's
the whole, and we hide in the barn.
And yeah, they're setting a trap because, but then when they land, Admiral Noble's like, if you turn yourself in, Cora, Arthelius, then I will let the village go. And she's ready to do it. But then Gunnar is like, no, you can't. We have to fight.
Right.
Gunnar, no.
It's just like so conflicted, though, because it's like, all right, she's going to make the ultimate sacrifice to save everybody. Gunnar can't do that selfishly and then puts everybody at risk.
Well, Gunnar just didn't want to lose his new girlfriend. He's like,
right. It's selfish.
Look, I just started dating this girl. She's really hot. Like, I'm not going to let her, like,
in my name, I'm very
usually motivated. So this is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm Gunnar. I'm out here gooning.
I do what I do.
So he kind
of, he sets the trap off. They pop out. They got little trap doors. They shoot a rocket launcher into the ship, blows up one of the ships. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Then you got strong Viking guy who gets a whole fight scene with
Noble. How did he become a warrior, too, just out of nowhere?
Well,
he's amazing.
He's just harvesting all that grain.
And how
really
does
muscular.
He not fucking ride anything? But so we get these factions. It's basically that everybody's split up. So Mike's favorite nemesis, she's watching the kids. The women and children, they're in the barns. Good. Yeah. Send a sentry down, because after we're done bleep-blopping,
we'll
zip-zap
and
zoom.
The women and children.
And kill the women.
We'll capture the women and children and kill everybody else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they're going to hold them hostage. Yeah.
Meanwhile, General Titus, separate faction. Viking guy, separate faction.
Furiosa and Turok.
Yes, Furiosa.
Yeah, they're all kind of just hanging out in different buildings.
Furiosa has knives. Turok has these like double axes now. Like, we're revealing everybody's power. Titus has like the Greek armor, but then kind of like a shotgun that he doesn't really use.
Just
right?
A gun. Yeah.
Yeah.
But everybody gives the exact same in a row. Well, I guess we're going out there. And if you're with me, then we ride. Cut to the next person. Well, if the battle today means our death, let it be the enemy's death. Then we ride. Where you just like, they're all going to give the battle speech.
The nemesis is like,
they're all so badass.
Basically, the blue lightsaber guys go up and she's like, I'm going to fight you single hand, single combat, do a bunch of cool shit. This kid has got a little knife. He's like, I'm ready to fight too. You know?
Stabs a guy in the dick.
Yeah.
It's a good sword, Aragorn says, and he uses that knife to stab a guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you think the robots, Mike, or do you think the people with the blue hands also have robot hands, or do you think that doesn't matter?
Unless you got the red ones up with one too. So I think they just made a lightsaber.
But do you remember when like Gunnar or someone tries to pick one up when he's on the ship and it's like hot? He's like, ow, ow.
Right.
Oh,
again,
he's like, wait for it to cool down. Or Cora picks it up.
Yes, I don't know.
I thought you were both fighting with one. Like, so she's
yeah, but Cora. In the last gets one from another person. She's like, oh, it's hot. And then she waits for it to like cool down. And it turns into a normal sword. And then she uses that. Or maybe,
right,
I guess
that's true. No, that is true. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, so this whole time, Cora and Gunnar have this secret plan.
Okay,
while they're
here's the plan.
The battle is a big distraction, basically. They're going to use the ship that she originally crash landed on the planet with that they got working again. And they're going to fly it up. Now, here's the thing with this plan. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but basically their plan involves they're going to infiltrate the mothership and blow it up from the inside. But to do this, they're going to disguise themselves as like injured soldiers.
Gunnar puts a smoke grenade on their ship, and the guy goes, good Lord, that ship's damaged. Quickly, flag it inside.
Yeah.
Let's get those soldiers in. We love
and
soldiers.
And so, yeah. So part of their plan is to, all right, we're going to pretend to be injured and then kill a bunch of medics that are just trying to like save your life. Like, first of all, I'm pretty sure that's kind of fucked up. And
even
I'm pretty
war,
sure that's a war crime.
Medics. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not supposed to kill unarmed medics that don't know that you're like about to kill them. So just kill a bunch of medics. I get like the mother world is bad and stuff, but they're like, you know, just trying to do their job. They're just healers.
Child. He's
Star
insane.
The contractors on the Death Star too, right?
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Some innocent blood for a revolution.
Like that one guy, the one guy that turned against them is the only good, like the only soldier that's like redeemable, I guess.
Right. He's also, yeah, I guess so. The guy on the planet. The guys who are healing them are dressed like World War I American officers. The entire ship, we realized, runs on coal. Okay. The Belisarius, again, there's a Senate. It's Greek. It's kind of Warhammer. The penis, the
Admiral Noble's got
the
like
ship a ship is powered by a woman
Nazi
again.
Uniform. He's Admiral, got a big the Nazi Nazis, hat.
So it seems like, okay.
Yeah.
Emperor Greek, officer Nazi,
space fascist,
low Nazi level Empire. American GI. Where again, you're just like, Zach, you mixed too much up. You don't have any artistic eye if you just do everything.
It's just a bunch of a mishmash of a bunch of stuff.
But it's cool. It's like, every like scene Dune. Should be cool.
Yeah.
It's cool though, yeah.
I don't know.
It's maximalist. It's how I described the previous one. Like, cause it is everything, every reference, every cool.
Yeah. But like every planet has their own aesthetic. Like every, like the Empire, are like these weird Dune people, but they've got like, you know, the Empire and everything. I don't know.
And they put the weird bags on, Titus's people's head too. Like the soldiers are going to wipe out. So like, is that for traders and musicians?
We just like
all musicians, traders, and we just like these bags.
Before we execute you, your violin, we recommend you play a song. Okay?
Yeah.
You got to score it yourself. Who will be your second? Yeah.
But basically, she's infiltrating this ship. So Admiral Noble finds out. They're like, okay, the Scar Giver is on the ship. That's all we cared about.
Oh, yeah.
Blow up the village with our big guns because we don't care about that anymore. We got the Scar Giver. So they're turning their big guns. It's very Star Wars, like, oh, power up the Death Star. We're about to blow up Endor and shit.
A tank comes out. They call it a mech in the subtitles, but it's like a tank. It doesn't work.
No, that's Ghost in the Shell robot.
Yes, that's the spider one.
Yeah.
That's even cool, maybe the later ones in the series, tank. Their design is slightly different, but that's a Ghost in the Shell robot, 100%.
That's cool.
I mean, it is.
I like some of the aesthetics of like.
And the robot does the thing. He rips the fucking hatch off just like Kusanagi does in the freaking anime. It's Ghost.
That's what I'm saying.
Robot.
I like some of the aesthetics of like the mech and the guns and stuff. Like,
but it's
I like
shot
the
like shit.
Yeah, yeah, but like the guns are cool. Like some of them are like plasma muskets kind of thing, where they like
they're like blunderbuss.
Yeah,
it's like you do one. A big thing shoots out, you jam it in, you pull the trigger again. I did like that, Jacob. Yeah.
Well, we didn't mention
it's
this
like
bit.
A reach loading this thing that Furiosa uses. It was kind of neat. Yeah.
Yeah. That's that was kind of cool.
Like just a giant shell. Like that was cool, but it's like,
yeah.
But this strong Viking guy, this unnamed villager, that's like just a big, strong guy. He's
why
like,
did they even go get heroes? This guy almost sealed the deal himself.
He one's Darth Vader. Yeah, he almost
better than Gunnar. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
He sees Admiral Noble. He jumps on his ship. He's like, I'm about to fuck you up. They get into a fight. He loses, and then he like throws him out of the thing, and then he dies. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, good try. You tried.
Yeah. Snivels away, goes back up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we have Korra. She's killing a bunch of people. She's trying to get to Noble. She finally meets him head on, and they're like, okay, we're about to fucking fight. And shit.
She lays the bombs at the woman machine.
Yeah, that's the thing. They put the bombs on the engine, and it blows up right before they're about to shoot the village. It was perfect timing. They knew the timing exactly when they would shoot the thing. Mm-hmm. If it was a second later, that village would have been destroyed. So it's a good thing they timed that bomb right.
Exactly. Well, that's what happens in movies. You just barely make it, you know?
So it shoots, it blows up the ship, it goes and it shoots somewhere else instead. So that's a good thing.
And then the ship starts to go down slowly, and we get an extended lightsaber battle at 87 degrees vertical. Yeah.
But then we have Gunnar, he's hiding with a gun.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's able to like help out Korra.
Or I'm so scared.
Oh, yeah.
Because even Noble's about to beat Korra because she's kind of like losing the fight. And then he stabs him, but then he gets shot or something. What happens to him? Yeah, I think he gets
shot. I can't remember how Noble dies. I've already forgotten.
No, this is the best part because he gets stabbed and then he like turns around. And he's like, what the fuck, this guy again? And then Korra like cuts his head off. So he gets beheaded.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, he's dead finally for good. He ain't coming back.
And so Noble's dead. Gunnar is hurt. Let's jump back to Earth real quick. Nemesis dies.
She dies in combat. She's fighting. basically she's fighting this one guy. Then the little kid comes up, stabs him. He's
in the deck.
All right, fuck you, kid. Picks the kid up by like his throat. And then she grabs that knife and then stabs him in the jugular or something, kills him. Mm-hmm. But then she succumbs to her wounds.
Stabbed, yeah.
They cut off one of her robo hands mid that fight. Yeah. That sucked.
So then she just starts fighting with one hand.
And again, there's some neat choreography here. And she kind of becomes Toshiro Mifune character from Seven Samurai.
Right.
You know,
I like the imagery when she's wearing the hat and she's like standing in front of the barn and stuff. Like, it's a cool shot.
And that's like a traditional, like old school Korean, like style informed. Yeah. Hat. Like, that's like a, you know, historical look. Like, she has a cool
everything
about these. Every time I saw her, I'm like, I'm sorry, Baedina. I'm sorry that you're here.
She would have been a cool Jedi character if this was a Star Wars.
Mike, you said she was from Sense8. Is that what she was?
She's Sense8, yeah. And she's done some movies with...
Never watched that.
Old boy director that she did. Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance. She did The Host.
Oh!
She was in The Host, which is that monster movie.
Oh, is she the little girl who gets taken in The Host? She's like
She's the archery. She's the cousin or the sister who's really good at archery.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, Bong Joon-ho, great Korean director.
I don't know.
I feel like she deserves better than this role, but yeah, she did send Wachowskis and stuff, so, which is awesome. Right. She plays a kick-ass, like, boxer. She's very cool in that, too, so.
Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. But rip.
But rip to her, and rip to Gooner, who gooned too hard.
Close to the sun.
Yeah.
Hurrah!
Goon too soon,
he sacrifices himself. And this was interesting because a lot of times it's like, so Korra is like the main character. And a lot of times I actually like this because the main character is like this male hero, and then his love interest, female girlfriend or whatever, ends up dying. And that becomes like motivation for this male character. So I like that they've flipped it. Which Zack Snyder, you know, everyone's like, oh, he's appeals to the male gaze or whatever, but he's like, no, we'll get this strong female character, and then
non-binary
Gooner will die.
Gooner dies.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, just while we're going trope, she obviously has a Pa Kent, and that the sort of elder statesman of the village who's like, we met Korra 2 seasons ago, and you know, the guy who they like show her spaceship that they turn on or whatever. And I would argue General Titus is her Obi-Wan, I guess you could kind of say. I thought for sure they'd be done for. So at the end of the movie, when those two say to each other, Titus, we did it. And then Titus goes, yeah. I was like, oh, wow. I'm kind of surprised you're both still here.
No, I'm glad Titus lived because he's going to be a big part of the next movie that they're definitely going to make. Because he's like... The whole time he secretly knows that the princess is still alive, and that's the big cliffhanger. It's like, no, Korra, you thought you killed the princess, but secretly she's alive and she's leading the resistance, which we're going to go join right now.
And here's
the movie ends.
It's awesome because I know all this and I know you're tortured by what you've done, right? But I'm going to wait until the end of the battle, the end of everything, and when you're about to confess out of guilt, then I'll let you off the hook.
I probably could have told you a lot sooner.
He was going to do it. He dropped the neg about the water stuff, and he was clearly like, fine, I'm going to tell you your...
She wasn't ready to... she wasn't ready to disclose her backstory yet, so he didn't tell her. But, so that's the hook for the next movie, is that it's time we're going to... The resistance is going to fight back against the mother world, and it's going to be
first, and then the battle. I think you're right.
Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
Oh, it'll be we have to find the princess. Wow, what an adventure that was. Oh, but the stakes are this, because I can't save the world because X and Y. Well, then next time we're going to get that and take the fight to mother world.
Yeah. Do you think so? The princess we see has powers that she can bring things back to life or whatever. Do you think she's going to bring Gooner back to life?
I didn't even, Jacob, you're so invested. You're my so brain. Smart. I gotta
email Zack Snyder right now.
No, that's the straightest line.
He definitely is there.
Where do you think this is going? What could this possibly lead to? Truly, it ends, and I'm like, good. Click, it's off.
The idea that you're like, what do you think next? That's great. Yeah, that could have come back. That's great. No,
that is like the most shallow, like not shallow, but it's like the straightest line of like, I was sad because I killed someone I was supposed to protect, and now I'm going to bring someone I was supposed to protect back to life, and I'll feel
better. Yeah, somehow Gruner returned.
But she is the life princess, and together,
and she will lead the resistance against the mother world and retake and restore it to its former glory as a peaceful world.
Get the princess's wish to have a peaceful mother world. That's right.
Yes. Wow. And we'll be nice to all the rebel moons out there.
All the Velts out there. Shout out to all the Velts. when this happened and they revealed, like, the princess is alive and we're going to go get her, I, like, audibly, out loud, at home alone, was like, there's more. I was shocked.
There's more. Stay tuned.
Like, there's more. Like, Zach, please. Like, you can't. I couldn't.
That's just the hook for the next movie.
A threat.
Yeah. I was like, please. Like, don't. Like, that's why I wanted to be a movie jail.
You know, this movie is like Dune 2 for sickos. And Dune 2, they're like, guess what? We're gonna make Dune 3. Just, you know, if people like this one at the end, and so now this one, they're like, we need something like that, where it's like, yeah, we're gonna. There's more. Don't worry.
There's more. Jimmy said so.
You're off the hook.
Yeah, you're free.
You're free. Free at last.
Charlie Hunnam is the guy I look at this where I'm like, smart.
Yeah, I wish he would have succeeded.
He was the Lando in the first one, but then if Lando just died.
Yeah, Charlie Hunnam was right.
And then we didn't even mention that Ray Farmer's sister comes in, the Devra Bloodaxe, and is like, guess what? I'm here with my fleet now. Let's wipe out all these other ships.
That's the Rise of Skywalker. Yeah, yeah. Everybody's here. Right.
And now I'm joining your cause because you've made me believe in your cause. So.
I just want you to know that Ray Fisher, he gave up a lot and that he deserves a job again. Thank you. Like, oh, wow. Cleopatra Coleman said that? That's great.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver.
Uh-huh. What
great movie.
What movies were in this movie? We definitely had a lot of Star Wars references. We had Ghost in the Shell. I think I want to say there's a little bit of Fantastic Beasts and Chicago Planet with the Griffins. That's like young Dumbledore planet, right?
Yeah. Well, those are obviously hippogriffs.
I know we're not all big Warhammer people, but just the like when they say like the mech stuff and whatever
the
that
Imperium
thing, and the hooking your brain up.
Sure.
Yeah,
Space Marines.
Maybe missed opportunity. Like, we bring Noble back, but they don't. They're like, oh, he might have brain damage. I'm like, oh, he's going to be like crazy. He's like, I'm just normal. I'm just back. No adverse effects whatsoever.
The two people
got, like, a cool mask to wear or something.
That would have been dope. The two people, man. If I'm Ed Skrein, and if I'm Jamin Haidsu, I fire my agents. Like, it's over. It's over. Like, I'm like, what have you done to me? How dare you do this? It's over.
Well, yeah. I know. It's a lot like Dune, too, because it's like, the villagers are the Fremen, and they're fighting against the Harkonnens, which are the mother world attacking, basically. It's the same fucking thing.
Resources.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These grain is just the spice of this world, right? Grain is so important.
Jimmy shows up.
You can't grow grain anywhere else. Yeah, that's
right. James.
Jimmy shows up to beat the tank, then he disappears again.
Yeah.
And they come back down, and Gunnar dies, and we learn the whole secret of the princess. And Jimmy appears, and he says, "And I brought you this." And it's a piece of his antlers that he's been wearing this whole time.
Thanks, man.
Explain about why he's wearing.
What the fuck is
and
that?
They go. And the handsome Viking goes, ha ha ha, robot brother, are you saying you wish to take up arms with us as well? Well, you're like,
I guess so, yeah.
Buddy, I don't think he said a fucking word like that. I think he walked up to you and gave you his dumb fucking antlers that make no fucking sense.
He made a crown this time, too. He changed it up.
Yeah.
Made antler crown. It's so wild. Do they speak to each other? It's like Legolas and Frodo.
No, there's not.
You know, like, they never speak.
Who's the robot, though? He's kind of Gandalf-y, I guess. I don't know.
I guess it's Aiden. I was just thinking of the fact of characters that speak to each other one time.
Yes, no, I love our saga. You're right. But that guy is the Legolas / Gimli.
Maybe like a Gimli. He does have a hammer, right?
Yeah.
I have this hammer.
None of this should be compared to Lord of the Rings. We should.
Yeah, this is way better.
Unfair.
The soundtrack is so bad. It keeps coming in with this haunting Viking score that is terrible. When it cuts to the end credits, we did Planet of the Apes last episode. Please go back and listen to that. We talked about the incredible Goldsmith score in that, the staccato, strange jazz almost, and playing with the stark dropping of sound. In this, it's Junky XL, right? It's Junky XL. We're going to see him again in Furiosa, like the biggest, most bombastic. It's basically just static. It's terrible. I mean, there's nothing to it. It's garbage. It's noise.
Yeah. The best song in the movie is Assassination in D Minor. Like,
what about when they're harvesting the wheat?
The actual score is not like.
There's some kind of folk song that plays over when they're harvesting the wheat too, which is like,
yes,
harvest the wheat.
It's horrible.
We love the wheat.
Diggy diggy hole.
If a local theater, Jacob, put on a stage production of Lord of the Rings and they were like, and we hired a local choir to just kind of like do a song that sounds like Elvish, I'd be like,
yeah,
oh, and that's the song they played, I'd be like, oh, that turned out nice for your local theater show. It's
that's what they're trying to hint, that they're like, oh, you don't understand, these people have this whole culture of space Vikings. Also, they just say skull when they drink. It's like,
skull.
Yeah, that's like your Earth Vikings that live on this planet for some reason.
Like the space Irish in Star Trek.
Yeah. But you know what? Look, there's an alternate world out there where instead of Star Wars, this is the biggest franchise in the world and everybody loves it.
That's not true.
And there's Star Wars never existed.
No world like that.
If there is, it's called the Mother World. And I want nothing to do with it.
It's the Mother World.
Yeah.
The worst place. Wow.
Well,
yeah.
That's the scar giver.
That's the scar giver. I think we can go to final thoughts. I think it's okay.
I think it's time.
All right. That's the transition.
We've brought in the harvest, and it's time.
Right. It's time to revel the moon. Oh, baby.
We're back. We're talking Rebel Moon, the Rebel Without a Cause. Zack
Rebel
Snyder
Goon
himself.
Is what I like to call it.
Rebel Gooner. Rebel Goon. Gooner.
I'm Gooner.
I'm Gooner. Goon. Welcome to my Rebel Mooner.
Rebel Mooner. Oh, my God.
Cora, I've loved you for two seasons now. I'm sorry. Michael Hoostman. You reward your agent. This is about as good as you're going to get. This is your thank you for doing that for me. I'm proud of you making me the lead in a movie. That was nice.
As I pointed out in the last one.
Yes, please say again.
Gooner and Admiral Noble, those two actors, of course, played the same character in Game of Thrones. Dario Naharis, you throne heads out there will remember. They replaced this guy like midway through the show. With a guy that looks nothing like him.
Nothing like him.
Didn't try to make
a weird
him look
bald
anything.
Guy that they replaced with
different.
And those two actors would go on to star in this masterpiece.
Yep. And neither of them survived the second movie, so the jury's still out on, who carries.
Yeah.
It's true Naharis. We'll never know.
And did we do research, did we find out if they had any conversation on the set about how they were both on that TV show and
I don't have to imagine.
That same part?
Like Michael Hoosman was like, sorry for replacing you on that show, man.
Ed, I just heard the news. Did you know that I was the role you left? Yes, I've known for a long time, Michael. Oh my God, wow. That's so crazy.
And here we are, prestige streaming content once again in the Rebel Moon. They're like, wow, we just...
I'll tell you what, I'm a Gooner.
Who really won out of all the actors was Corey Stoll. Because remember, he was in the very beginning, and then he died. And he's like, hey, I got to be in that movie, and then I got out of there.
basically the guy who like does the boxing thing in this. You know, he's like the one random towns guy who like fights Ed Skrein. Like you almost wonder, yeah, like why did they kill Corey Stoll in that?
Well, I guess he was the chief. Yeah, they're like, we're gonna kill your chief. Yeah, you have Corey Stoll.
Oh boy,
blood for the blood gods. You have to show that the bad guys are bad. The opposite. What did we? Yeah. The John Wick we called it. You got to kill the dog as opposed to saving the cat. You know, that's what that scene was. You got to.
That's right, Mike. That's good.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this: what if you had to give this a score on Letterboxd out of 5 stars? What would you give it? You can use half stars too.
Can I, Colin? Do a black you hole eats all.
I believe. I believe Colin, you gave the first movie a half star when you
rated it. I gave it a half star. It's now one of my most popular reviews, which is just me saying, "Dear wow. God, Zach, you can go lower." To which now oh, I wow. say, "Yes, you can go lower," and it's astounding.
That's funny.
You're in this, wow, zero.
This yep.
Wow.
If I could.
So you think this is his worst movie?
I think this is his worst movie.
But what about if you just took, like I said, what if you just combine these two movies into one movie?
I'm excited for Mike to do that one day. I would argue again, terrified. is it this? Like, this is the one you make the cut of? Again, I'm going to say this now. We're not doing an episode. There will be no part what? Three. There will be no part four for the director's cut.
Please.
If there is the child, the life giver or whatever child they call it. Yes, yeah. The next one will do that. We will. There will be no cut talk. We will do on a whatcha.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
Yeah. Actually, the 4-hour version does make it better, and I will laugh at you when you say that.
Well, but we will not. There's this insane thing where he said basically it was this whole insane marketing strategy that Netflix and Zack Snyder had, where they're like, we're gonna try to manufacture a Snyder cut by planning a different director's cut, like. They put these movies out knowing that they're going to have a director's cut. And according to Zack Snyder, like every take, like even if it's the same dialogue, they would use a different take in this other version,
right,
just to make it different. So like every scene in the other version is different. So it's like a completely different movie. Make
a good movie.
That's
he knows that. Cut. He went to film school. He knows that you hire a DP. He knows that you don't split a movie in two and then say you're going to make four different versions of it. He knows this. I don't understand what this game insane. Is.
And I don't understand why Netflix signed on to do this. Because basically he went to Disney and he was like, check it out. I've got this great idea for a Star Wars. This is him coming off of DC, right? You know, he was managing the DC universe for however many years. Got booted out of there after several failures, came to Disney and was like, check it out. I got a Star Wars. I know you're going to love this. It's going to be great. And Disney was like, we're going to pass. So he's like, okay, I'm going to Netflix. Netflix, check it out. I've got a bootleg Star Wars. We'll just change the names.
Wait, hold on. Just hold on real quick before we do that. Let me build up some cred. I'll do my zombie thing. Failure. Right. Doesn't become the universe he pitches, the cartoon, the sequel, the spinoff.
Well, he made a prequel to that, too, that I never even saw.
Yeah. I never saw. He didn't direct that. I don't know. But then he says, double down on me.
I'm going to make my Star Wars. Netflix is like, all right, here's a bunch of money. We're sure this is going to be amazing. Also, let's try to make a fake Snyder cut out of it because we love the publicity of the Snyder cut. Just because
you like,
people
you
online
like all those nerds harassing people, like what like do
they
you
tricked,
mean?
They tricked like Warner Brothers into giving a bunch of extra money to finish the Snyder cut.
Now, let's be clear, that happened because a global pandemic happened and a company couldn't release movies in theaters and said, "I guess we could give this guy at his house."
But they gave him extra money to finish the movie.
Because it costs you, but that's pennies to a studio at that.
And then they just released it on HBO, so they made no money from that theatrically because it just, you know, it was during that
subscribers.
Yeah. So I don't know, but.
And Jacob said that's a good movie. He started the podcast saying that was a good movie. I'd like.
Well, it's a better movie than the theatrical cut, and it's one of my favorite movies. In the DCEU, I'll say that.
I'm glad there's more to the sentence.
Colin is giving me an expression of total
what
disbelief
are you
right
saying?
Now.
That's horrifying.
It's better. Okay, here's the thing. Batman versus Superman, bad movie.
Incredible.
the director's cut of that was better than the theatrical cut.
Sure.
So yeah. The thing is, yeah, Warner Brothers meddled in all of his movies and made worse theatrical cuts because they, you know, focus grouped them to hell. So he's right about that. But you're wrong.
That's the lesson you learn, Jacob.
The point is, you want to make the good movie the first time and not have the studio interfere. Not make a movie and then make a different movie that's supposedly better. That you're
Zach, yeah, sweetheart. The lesson is you earn the trust. The lesson is that you make a product people feel good about. The lesson is not that you tinker for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but, the George Lucas of it. But you're right, Jacob. It's the wrong lesson was taken. We need to release the same movie two times as opposed to let's make a good movie once. Yeah.
Because what Netflix was like, oh, the publicity of the whole Snyder's cut was like so good, you know, that we got to get in on that and we're going to make our own Snyder cut. And so they just gave him carte blanche to do whatever he wants. But I have a feeling after these movies, he's not going to get that because the reception has been so bad.
Here's what I think. The next announcement we're going to get, one, we're not getting any more of these. This did not land in the top 10 of the time it was released. They've got that baby reindeer show out right now that's like killing for Netflix, and it costs one thousandth of this stupid movie. And I know this has been like a while ago, but I'm saying like truly it has not charted this film. So I think we're done with movies. I think the next announcement for Zach is he needs to find a strong partner, somebody like Henry Cavill, who's doing that Warhammer 40K show for Amazon. I think Zach needs to say, I will make the pilot for that. I will step down to TV. And I just need to completely reassess what my thing is. I need a strong collaborator. Henry Cavill has worked with Tom Cruise. He's learned what it means to be like the star slash creative. We're going to try to create something like that. That would be my guidance for this man who, in my opinion, is completely fucking lost.
Yeah, I think he doesn't know what he doesn't know is the problem. Like, he's just out here winging it, like giving into every whim, and it's like maybe
he's high on his own supply, Mike. He does not think this is when the response to this is a 14% on Rotten Tomato, he says, well, my films aren't for criticism. And to think that
the audience will love them above criticism
is a fascinating thing as a creator.
Yeah,
no, he definitely, he's got like his hardcore fan base, so he's so like. Yeah, he's high on his own supply now. It's like, oh, these people think I'm the greatest director that's ever lived. Maybe I am.
Right. Oh, my God. Again, back to the Kendrick Drake thing. It's like even your own team like has to know that you're incompetent, Zach. Like everyone around you has to know you're a fraud, but they can't say anything. It's like Drake. Like,
and you want the wheat to be slower? Yeah.
You want another scene of the wheat after this one? Yeah.
And that guy goes home and laughs, Mike. Like, he talks to his friends and he's like, no, I'm like editing the Zach movie. No, like, it's true what they say about the slow. Like, it's, you won't believe what we're doing.
It's almost.
No, remember, Zack Snyder said more people watched his movies than watched Barbie. He said that a little bit ago. He said
reach about part Netflix one. Has. It's incredible.
You don't understand. More people have seen part one, The Child of Fire, whatever the fuck, than they have.
Netflix assured me 5 zillion seconds were streamed by 100 TVs in a Best Buy. So, you know, I'm everybody tells me I'm great.
Yep.
Okay.
Stream Farm. We got you, Zach.
But, yeah, you know, everybody. I'm looking forward to whatever he does next. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be great.
But again, what do you think it is, Jacob? It's a movie?
I don't know. Well, I don't know who's going to keep giving him money that he's like, maybe he's got to do some like his, you know, sucker punch or something where it's like smaller budget. He can just kind of focus on making that. Like, I don't know what he does. I don't know.
Yeah.
He still says for Sucker Punch, he wants to make a director's cut because it's his only movie that he's not totally happy with.
Okay.
And man, again, like, not great either. Like,
yeah,
I don't think Sucker Punch is good. I didn't.
Nope.
It's just as empty as this, almost like borderline. Like, really, it's like pretty thin. It's all spectacle, babes fucking doing cool shit. but it's like almost nothing happening.
You know what? No, his best movies are Cool is the only one I haven't seen. Maybe I'll watch that with 300 so I can bring in some of that energy.
Which one haven't you seen?
Owls of Ga'Hoole, his children's film.
I haven't seen that.
I can't imagine that.
It's his Happy Feet.
His best movies to me, which are 300 and Watchmen, are based on things. So he's good at adapting comic books into movies. He's good at that.
Shot for shot.
He's not good at like just comic book characters, like the DC characters making his own stories. But if he was directly adapting a graphic novel like Watchmen, the most famous graphic novel of all time, he can accurately transpose that to film in a way that I don't hate. I mean, some people don't like that movie as much. I think it's, for what it is, it's not bad.
That's what I would rewatch because I think maybe it's ahead of its time. But you know,
change some things like the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I won't go into it, but basically the big disaster in the ending, he kind of changed the method of that and changed certain things. But at least he sort of understood what made that comic book good. So maybe he just needs to go back to his roots and adapt something, you know.
Well, there's two things. I don't think he was writing those by himself. You know, there's a team. So if we've learned that he should have a cinematographer, he should have a writing partner at the very least,
right?
Or like, so what are his directing skills?
He should not have input with the script. It
Dawn of
just
the Dead, right? With James Gunn writing.
That's maybe my favorite of his movies. Is the Dawn
I don't know what his skills are. I don't think he draws great performances, Mike. So directing actors, I don't believe is a strength of his. I don't know what he brings to the table.
Yeah, it's like, okay, 300, sure, but like what? He wasn't the cinematographer. He just had slow mo. Like what is his skill then? Does he have one? I'm just interrogating this entire
man. I guess just storyboarding some good shots, but not actually shooting it.
Special sequence supervisor is what he should be. Like, come up with a couple key sequences, because here, like, slow-mo would be cool. There's just so much of it. Like, use it sparingly. He has no restraint.
He should do previs. He should just be the guy who does previs, like Tim Miller, you know, before he became the Sonic and Deadpool director. He was the guy who did previs, weird, interesting titles for David Fincher. Cool.
Come up with six sequences. Hey, we got a new, you know, Avenger, a new Star Wars. Come up with an interesting looking battle, Zach. You got 6 months to come up with an interesting skeleton for a battle. Cool.
Yeah.
Let him do that. Let him live in the computer with his little flying around camera.
Go crazy. You can do whatever you want with your little pieces.
Let someone clean it up before you release it to the public.
Yeah, just whatever little world you live in, buddy.
We just can't let you unfiltered be putting stuff for public consumption.
No, it's dangerous.
It's dangerous. It's Candyman.
I like that you keep saying, Mike, he cannot keep getting away with this. That's what I'm left.
I think he can, though.
I would argue that he can, but he will. He can't keep getting away.
How dare you.
Well, I don't know what's up next for him, but we're just going to have to wait and see. But I don't know if I can talk about Zack Snyder anymore or the Rebel Moon before my head explodes with the scanners.
The story of a thousand songs, Jacob. Put your head down or put your hood down before we leave here. I'll play us off
on my violin.
I just keep thinking of the meme of like guys always thinking about the Roman Empire, and he actually did it 8-2 Brute. I'm like, he is just the man's man, Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Thinking of the Roman Empire.
What a guy. We love him.
What a guy.
Can't keep getting
like we said, we're going to be talking about
we love him,
again,
don't we, folks?
We're so close. This is 294. So, I mean, we're barreling towards 300.
Oh,
truly.
Man. We're going to have more Zack Snyder if we follow through on our plan.
So soon.
Should we watch the sequel to 302?
I love that movie.
Oh, God.
I have a huge crush on Eva Green. There are a lot of sex scenes in that movie. At one point, she has what she described as a battle sex scene. She fights while it's like incredible. It's crazy.
Fascinating. I haven't seen 302.
Oh, man. Rise I saw that a long time ago, I think, but I don't remember anything about it. So we're going to have to reinvest.
He wants to make another of those. He wants
Monkey
to make
Kingdom, Empires, all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, this is Mike again. This is in our literary adaptations. Of course, this is based on the Bible.
Incredible.
300 is?
No, this Rebel Moon.
Oh, yeah. 300 was based on history.
That's right.
This is the, this is Moses.
Talking about the Roman Empire, you think about the Spartan Empire.
That's right.
Well, yeah, yeah, Rise of the Empire, man, Kingdom of Monkeys soon. A lot of crazy stuff in the world.
All right, now I brought you guys this piece of this antler, and that can only mean one thing: that it's time to wrap up before we go on our next journey to hunt down the princess. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna end this episode.
The snore giver. There we go.
The snore giver.
I thought that was final thoughts.
It is.
No, I'm saying we're rapid. We're going away right now. Do we know what is the next episode? Do we want to even say that? Do we know what's coming up?
Do
next?
We know?
We can let our normies in.
We do. Yes, it's a subject
near and dear to our hearts.
Near and dear to our hearts. It's called. Should I say what it is?
Right. Say now? What it is. Let's reveal.
We're gonna be talking the new Marvel animated series. Continued from the 90s, X-Men 97.
A show I was thinking about the entire time I was watching this movie, going, I wish I was watching that show I like instead. So get excited for that episode, normies. We'll be coming up with that one next week. Do the usuals. Hit us up at normies_like_us. Rate, review, subscribe. That helps us out a lot. Write in if you're a regent of the area you take care of, and write in and say, "Do it, girl. Do it, child."
That is Will Palpatine.
Dog.
It is.
He says, "Do it." He says, "I am Scottish accent." Do it. Yes, in a Scottish accent. Do it, child.
Do it, child. My name is Fluffy.
Rafi, that is that actor's name. From Echo. Or no, from Hawkeye?
From something.
Yeah, something. Who cares? We don't care either. Like we said, we'll be coming up next week. We're your hosts, of course. This is Regent Colin. I don't know.
This is just your host, Mike. And fuck the big Z. It's just the big me. You can't keep getting away with this.
Wow. I like how you keep comparing this to Kendrick and Drake.
How much anger?
Very topical. Yeah.
It's not going to be topical 200 years when this is listened to by aliens, but
that's right. And this is Jake Asarius. Normies, you know, we love talking about our favorite movies with you.
Okay, that's enough hard work. Now back to the wheat farm.
Back to the wheat farm.
Gotta get all this wheat in before they show up.
They do got to make the parody Rebel Goon at this point.
That's what we'll make. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Bye.
Patreon dollars. Bye.
Bye.
My name is Gooner.
On it. What do you do? You'll never know. You'll never guess.
And the great Gouda.
Yeah, man.
My name is Gandalf the Grey, and I'm imploring you to leave a like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. Don't keep it secret. Don't keep it safe. Don't take me as a conjurer of cheap tricks, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Normies Like Us. Fly, you fools!